Now, here's a preview of Powerful Women Revealed.
Some days, things just take way too much of my energy. I look up and the whole room's spinning. You take my cares away. I can so overcomplicate. People tell me to medicate.
Good afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed, created and hosted by Nicole Perry. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of personal and educational discussions with a variety of women that want to educate, inspire, and bring awareness to the community. These women all have a powerful mission and appreciate the opportunity to share their stories, milestones, and successes with you. Here's your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest today has been serving our community as a licensed acupuncturist and craniosacral therapist for the last 5 to 7 years at her practice located in Abington. After years of experiencing extreme asthma as a young child and being hospitalized almost yearly, she was grateful to discover a whole world of healing modalities beyond traditional Western medication and fell in love with Chinese medicine in her early 20s. Megan McGonigal, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was a little bit of a tongue twister for me. And plus your name. Your name is a little tricky, McGonigal. Thank you so much for being here and welcome to Team Power Braintree.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm loving it.
I know. Aren't you glad you came?
I am.
I'm very happy. You came to visit and then you were like, okay, this is my tribe.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. Found my tribe, found the type of women that I love to be around.
Nice. Now, so in this first segment, we're going to talk about how one of your main goals is to encourage people to be open-minded about these alternative modalities. She basically, Ariana Grande, just said, you know, I can so overcompensate, people tell me to medicate. And, you know, the alternative medicine is what you really want to help people be open-minded about.
Yes. So I really believe in an integrative model. Mm. So absolutely go to your doctor.
Yes.
Get things that you need done. But there's a lot of issues that people have that aren't completely eradicated by medicine and Western intervention.
And frankly, a lot of people are going that as their first choice.
Yes. So, so for example, people will be put on medicines or they'll get surgery that isn't necessary for fixing that problem. So sometimes people do need to get surgery or they do need to be on a long-term medication. Mm. But if they tried something like acupuncture first, they could get those symptoms under control so they didn't need to be on a medicine forever or get a surgery that you can't go back from surgery. Once you have that done, that's done.
Yes. And frankly, surgery is scary. And if you can avoid it, you really want to try to avoid it.
Absolutely. So a lot of people come and see me after they've had a few surgeries as a last resort.
Yeah.
And I really wish that it was reversed.
Yeah.
So people would go to acupuncture and try and get things under control that way. Mm-hmm. And then if that doesn't work, absolutely get a surgery. Mm-hmm. But I want the surgery to be the last resort.
Now, so why do you feel like this type of work is more of a calling than a career?
Yeah, so given my history and what happened to me, I felt like it was all preparation for me to become an acupuncturist. Mm. I went through a lot of struggles when I was younger, getting my asthma under control.
Do you still have asthma?
I do still have asthma, and I am still on medication for it because it's pretty severe. But I still go see an acupuncturist. A lot of my friends and I, we switch and give each other treatments. And it's only when I'm doing the acupuncture consistently that I'm not having symptoms. If I get a little lax and I decide, I'm feeling fine, then I can start to feel symptoms again. And I know, oh no, I need to go back and see my acupuncturist.
So then you have to, when you see the symptoms, then you have to reach for the medication.
Well, no, I'm on the medication always, but my asthma is so severe that I need both.
You need both to help Just keep it
just
on
keep
a,
level and
yeah.
just be asymptomatic.
Now, you come from a family of doctors.
I do.
I was really quite amazed by that when I read that.
Yes, I have a really large family. My mom's when I'm 12, actually.
Oh.
And my dad's when I'm 6. And I have a small army of cousins.
Wow.
And my grandfather, my mother's father, was a doctor. Several of his children became doctors. My brother's a doctor. We have a lot of physical therapy. Therapists, nurses, people like that in the family.
Mm.
So you could say that it's kind of a family profession.
to have that in your blood.
Yes.
To be so mindful about the human body.
Exactly. And just have that healing, caring for others, nature. I feel that was put in me by my family values.
Mm.
And it was just kind of accepted that you would do something that would help others when you got older.
Yeah.
It was just kind of what you were expected to do, and not that I feel that I have to do it. It's just a value that I also hold dear.
It came organically,
yeah,
I
it
feel
came
like.
Organically, exactly.
Mm. Now, so when you said somewhere, I can't remember in the notes, but you really want to help your clients widen their view of what acupuncture really is. How are you helping them open their eyes? Is it through the consultation? Is it through the ongoing visits that you sprinkle information that is really eye-opening to people?
Yeah, so people will come in with one thing, and then, you know, through talking to people and understanding what their lives are like, different issues will come up.
Mm.
And I'll say to them, oh, we can work on that as well. And
mm-hmm.
it becomes a surprise to people just how many things acupuncture is great at helping.
Ah.
So sometimes people will come in for a migraine, then we'll get those under control. And then we're working on a main issue that they had that affects their daily life that they didn't even know acupuncture could help with.
Huh. And so, you know, you have many other modalities too,
mm-hmm.
not just the acupuncture, craniosacral, which is quite a mouthful to
yeah.
be able to say that and spell it.
Yeah.
So you can help with that too. And I didn't realize craniosacral was not just working with the head and neck area, and it really involves the back as well.
Yeah. So craniosacral, cranium and spine, and then the sacrum, which is attached to the bottom part of your spine.
Oh.
So it's working with all of the junctures around your central nervous system. So your cranium, spine, and sacrum.
Oh.
And then everything else kind of comes out from that.
Okay.
So it's actually a Western medicine modality. It comes from... It comes from osteopathic medicine. So I joke that the most woo-woo thing I do doesn't even come from acupuncture. It comes from Western medicine.
The most woo-woo. And I love that you say, I don't even know where it's in my notes, but what do you call acupuncture? You call it acu-fried. What do you say?
Oh, so after people leave
they
feel acu-stoned. They feel really blissed out, and they look all happy, and they kind of float out of the office. And when they leave, I'm like, oh, you look nice and acu-stoned today.
I love that. That is adorable. That is so funny. Now, what is metatronia therapy? Is that similar to emotional freedom technique?
So I actually had to look up what emotional freedom technique was.
So it is not similar to that. Okay.
It's kind of like Reiki, except it's supercharged. So I'm also a Reiki master teacher, and I
yes.
do attunements for Reiki. And Reiki is very subtle, very gentle. Metatronia, it's kind of like a punch to the face in terms of energy healing, but in a good way.
Oh my God.
So I don't use that on a lot of people. I use that for people who are a little bit more spiritual or having a little bit more emotional things going on, or they feel lost and don't really know kind of where to go, a little adrift in their lives.
So there's like the intermediate spiritual,
yeah.
and then there's like the advanced.
Yeah, it's like we need to realign things.
Oh my God.
Pull out the big guns.
Metatronia is for more of the advanced
yeah.
swimmer or the advanced spiritual person.
Exactly.
Oh my God. That just totally resonated with me. Okay, so not EFT, which
no.
some people are familiar
yes,
with, which
yes.
is the tapping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can, through astrology, you do astrology
I do
too.
Do astrology as well.
I am just fascinated. How do people pick one thing?
I can't, clearly. That's why I
well,
do it all.
No, but your clients, like you have
oh,
so
yes.
many great tools. But anyway, how can assessing someone's inner strength through astrology work sort of help you guide to finding solutions for them?
Yeah, so I like to look at astrology as, or how I use astrology, as helping people navigate their place in the universe. It's kind of a vast world out there. There's a lot of energies being thrown at people. And astrology is a framework for figuring out where you are and then where you can go.
Navigate their place in the universe. Yes. I love that. It's sort of, to me, it's like a little bit of a foundation of who you are.
It is.
Yeah.
It really looks at you in an objective lens so that you can see strengths that you have that you might not think are a strength because it's so innate to you that you just take it for granted.
Ah.
Or things that are more challenging. And it's nice for some people to say, for somebody else to tell them, yes, this is challenging. What you're going through, your emotions around this, it's valid that you feel this way.
Mm.
And now let's look at how we can fix that and make that better.
Mm. And how long have you been doing the astrology?
Oh my gosh, forever.
Forever. I have one of those keep it simple, stupid books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the beginner astrology books. Like
for the beginners, yes. Here we go back to the beginners and intermediate again. Yes, it's the book for beginners. And I don't know, I find it interesting to pull it out once in a while and go through my husband and myself and all the kids and talk about some of the things. And it's interesting how it's like nails it.
Yeah, I like to look at astrology as checking the weather. Mm. When you go out, when you're getting dressed in the morning, you want to see, is it going to be warm? Is it going to be cold? Do I need an umbrella? And that's how a lot of people use astrology in the day-to-day.
Mm.
It's not, don't do this because Mercury's in retrograde. It's, okay, Mercury's in retrograde, just plan for some delays.
Yeah.
So bring that space umbrella
weather
with you.
I love that. That's awesome. All right, well, we do have to go to break. When we come back, I would love to find out if there are ideal modalities that are more suitable for specific issues.
Sure.
So hope you stay with us. My guest is Megan McGonigal, and you can go to healingmeadowswellness.com for more information. I hope you stay with us. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and you're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Hi, I'm Nicole Perry. My mission has always been to support women, and I'm still doing that through my radio show, Powerful Women Revealed. Now I'm creating additional opportunities for women to come together. We focus on personal balance, fine-tuning our business models, and preparing for our futures. Give yourself the gift of personal and professional fulfillment. Check out our new membership levels at powerfulwomenrevealed.com.
Am I sweating, or are these tears on my face? Should I be hungry? I can't remember the last time that I ate. Call someone, I need a friend to talk me down. But one foot wrong, I'm gonna fall. Somebody gets in, somebody gets it for one. Somebody gets it, all the lights are on, but I'm in the dark. Who's gonna find me? Who's gonna find me? Just one foot wrong, you'll have to love me when I'm gone. Does anyone see this? Lucky me, I guess I'm the chosen one. Color and madness, first in line, I put my money.
And we are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. And right before we went to break, I was talking with my guest, Megan McGonigal. And I would like to know, are there ideal modalities that are more suitable for specific issues?
Sure. So acupuncture is my number one.
Yes.
I want to do that on everyone.
Mm.
And I think that's good for most, if not all, things that I see. So acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine are part of traditional Chinese medicine paradigm that was the medical system in China for 3,000 to 4,000 years.
Yeah, 3,000, so, I wrote down while we were on break, yes.
So it can encompass and adapt to pretty much everything, both physical and emotional and spiritual things. Some people just like things like Reiki and Metatronia better because they're afraid of needles, or they just want something a little gentler on their system that day, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
That's why I like having different tools in my toolbox to kind of meet people on where they are.
Yes. But if somebody comes to you and says, I'm having trouble getting pregnant.
Yes.
You can specifically hook them up with acupuncture to help them release some whatever obstacle or barrier or something that's preventing them from getting pregnant.
Exactly. Fertility is one of my specialties. I love working on bringing people through that fertility journey and helping them get pregnant. And then I love working on pregnant ladies as well. It's really rewarding to help people bring a new person into the world.
Yeah.
And it's a really tangible goal that we can achieve together as a health team. You end up with a baby at the end of a successful
fertility. So do you know where to prick the needles depending on the person's issue?
Yeah, so when someone comes in for fertility, let's just keep going with that example. There are different reasons why that could be an issue, and then there are different types of infertility. There's trouble getting pregnant, there's trouble staying pregnant.
Yeah.
There's different things impacting it, like having PCOS or hormone irregularities. So we go over the entire health history, and then based on what their answers are and what's going on, I'll come up with a point prescription of what I think the best course of treatment is. And then we'll do that, see how they feel, see how their numbers change, see how their menstruation changes. And then after that, we'll know if that's a good course of treatment, if we need to make some tweaks along the way, and then kind of go from there.
But everything's connected.
Everything's connected.
So, but there are specific places where you do put the needles depending on the person's issue.
Correct. So there's main meridians in the body, and then there's different points on those meridians, and those different points have specific actions and effects that create specific changes that I'm looking for to make in a person's body.
I did acupuncture once in my life, but I don't think I had any problems. I think I was just
curious.
So I don't really know if anything happened, and it was so long ago, I don't remember, but I probably would remember if it was something, but I don't think I had any issues.
Different people do come in for what I like to call general wellness treatments. Acupuncture in its true form is supposed to be used preventatively. That was the idea, to prevent illness from happening. So people come in once a month, once a quarter, just to kind of keep things going well, keep things running smoothly. I like to make a joke that they're in for their tune-up.
Yes.
Their oil change.
And this is really the ideal person you want to serve, is somebody that wants to be proactive about their health.
Yes.
And so many issues that people can have, there's a laundry list of issues. But you actually felt like you were abandoned with your asthma. Tell me about
that. Yes. So when I was younger, it was before kind of the modern day internet as we have it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you could go and look up, I have asthma, medicines aren't working, what do I
want
to do?
Because now you can do
that. Now you can do that, and you'll get all these options.
With a very specific, right?
Right. And my parents had a really sick kid. They did everything that the doctor told them to do. They were really great. They made sure I had everything that I needed in that regard.
Both of your parents doctors?
No, neither of my parents are doctors.
Oh, so my cousins, uncles,
cousins,
brothers,
uncles,
all that.
Grandfathers, my brother, but my parents were not.
Okay.
You know, they did everything right, did everything that they could, and it just wasn't enough. My condition was that severe. And I had great doctors when I was younger, but then as I got older, I didn't really have great doctors, and that trust was dissolved.
Yeah.
And I really do think, though, that was the universe giving me experience to push me onto the path that I am on now, because now I have all this empathy and insight into how a lot of my patients feel. And so I can really empathize with their situations and work with them within my scope of practice to help them get to where they need to go.
And you really didn't feel heard.
I did not feel heard. I would talk to them and say, this isn't working. Can we try something else? But when you're a teenager, they don't necessarily believe you. They went to medical school. You didn't. That's absolutely true. But I do think that it's really important to be an advocate for your own health. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of the expert of your own body.
That's right.
And you can tell if something's not working. And it's okay to ask for a second opinion. It's okay to ask for different options of what you can do. Mm-hmm. And not every doctor is open to that, unfortunately.
And you actually treat a lot of middle school and high school kids.
I do.
Think that's fantastic and interesting. And how the heck, we have to go to break, but before we go, how the heck is it possible to treat a child as young as 7 with acupuncture?
Yeah, so 7 is definitely pushing it for the...
But yes, it's legal.
It's legal. But I do treat kids even younger, just with non-insertive techniques.
Oh.
So 7 would be the youngest that I would do an actual insertive technique, where I would put the needle in, but you can still stimulate acupuncture points through this technique called Shinoshen, which is a Japanese-style technique for children younger than that. I have treated infants for colic and things like that. But it is really fun treating middle school kids, because you can really see changes really fast. Unfortunately, I treat so much anxiety in young kids.
Oh.
The world's a stressful place and kids are sponges.
Yeah.
So it's sad to see that, but it's rewarding in that acupuncture is so helpful for that.
Yeah.
So these kids that are so anxious, acupuncture is great for a lot of migraines. Lyme, unfortunately, I see a lot of.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, we do have to go to break. When we come back, I would love to know, why do you believe the younger generation is more open about the alternative modalities? Hope you stay with us. My guest is Megan McGonigal, and you can go to healingmeadowswellness.com for more information. I hope you stay with us. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Hi, I'm Nicole Perry, and I am so excited to tell you that my debut book will be published soon. My book is entitled I Am on a Love Diet, and it's practically an experiment. I share with my readers many confessions and revelations throughout, because a grapefruit diet is just not realistic anymore. You can get a free copy of Chapter 1 right now and be one of the first to get your hands on a copy. A love diet is personal. Start your love diet today and visit PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
Should be living the dream, but I'm living with a security team. And that ain't gonna change, no. Got a paranoia on me. And you wouldn't believe everything that I say, you know. Come in a part of the scene.
And we are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. Love that song by Halsey, Still Learning. I got home and I got no self-esteem. And so this is helping kids with the self-esteem, with the anxiety. So that's awesome, right? All right, so I wanted to ask you, why do you believe the younger generation is more open to these modalities?
I think it's a few things. One, I think that there's more information out there that this is an option. And so when I was younger, people didn't even think of acupuncture. But now...
They thought of massage, spa?
Or they just didn't really think of a lot of alternative modalities. But now it's kind of a little bit more mainstream, a little bit more accepted. People are willing to try. Parents really want to avoid medicating their children.
Yeah.
So they're more open to trying different things.
So do you see where my brain just went?
Mm-hmm.
Like this was a luxury of a treatment. because yes. I was giving you the reference of a spa or massage. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the misconceptions, that it is like a luxury thing?
Yes. People definitely look at it as a luxury item, especially with how it's portrayed on TV. I think a lot of people remember Sex in the City, and so they remember things like that. So it is associated as a luxury item instead of a medical treatment that can help, or for some people, necessary for their well-being. And I also, kids are so brave. So a lot of the kids I see are braver than some of the adults that I see. They're like, it's fine, stick the needle in, I want to feel better.
And do they feel brave because it's one-on-one and you make them feel so comfortable? Because after all, they're coming in, most of them are being treated for anxiety or depression. So why are they so brave?
I think they want to feel better, and so they're willing to do what it takes to feel better.
And then, they do their research, I bet.
Yeah, they do.
They have on their phones, right? They're doing their research. We need to listen to the millennials and the younger kids, right?
We do, Gen Z.
Yes, yes. All right, so now it's been around for 3,000 years, and this is one of the misconceptions. What does acupuncture really do to the body? Like, how, I read somewhere you wrote, it creates change.
Yeah. So acupuncture makes physical changes in the body. So we stick a needle in and it affects a lot of different systems biomedically. It stimulates the central nervous system, the peripheral nervous system. It creates an analgesic, which means pain relief response, and also an anti-inflammatory response. It regulates hormones, releases the happy chemicals in your brain that you want to happen.
The dopamine?
And endorphins. And then it impacts different systems like fascia systems, or the lymphatic system, and it's doing all these different things and creating a cascade of changes, even from just sticking in one needle. So all these different things are going on.
All at the same time.
All the same time, or one leading into the other. Wow. And this is a big misconception for acupuncture, that, you know, as you wrote down, that you have to believe for it to work. You don't have to believe for it to work. Even if you come in and you don't believe that it works, all these things are going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people that come in, they're like, I don't think this is going
to
work.
But someone told me to come do it.
Their wife dragged them in or something like that. And, you know, I'm like, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Let's get you on the table. Let's get you a treatment. And then they end up being my biggest supporters. They're like, this was great. I'm telling everybody about it.
And I'm jumping ahead here, but is that one of your patients that has
plantar fasciitis?
Where they come in for a treatment and then suddenly they forgot they had pain for 4 days.
So that's actually a great way that you know that acupuncture is working, is that your whole reality has shifted. So that pain that you were in constantly, you're just not even thinking about it anymore.
Yeah.
So someone will come in and we've been working on their plantar fasciitis, or we're working on their shoulder, and I'll ask them, how's your shoulder doing? And they'll be like, you know, I didn't think about it all week. I forgot I had that. And that's exactly what I want to hear.
Wow, that is quite amazing. That's a huge testimonial. Now, what about people with chemical dependencies or addictions? Is acupuncture able to help shift and change things in the body? Because chemical dependencies, it's all about the brain, right?
So there's actually a specific protocol that acupuncturists can use to address addiction. It's called the NADA, N-A-D-A protocol.
Mm.
And there are different programs out there. So for example, Fenway Health has an acupuncture program in Boston that's specifically designed just for addiction.
Okay.
And there's a lot of programs like that. And given that we are in the middle of an opioid crisis, I would love to see more programs like that funded, because I think it would help so much. It helps in two ways. One, breaking the cycle of addiction by interrupting those pathways and helping kind of move out of that cycle. And two, helping the pain management that got people into that cycle to begin with. A lot of people are addicted because they had chronic pain issues and were prescribed a medicine for that. And even though they're addicted now, that doesn't mean that they're not still in pain. Yeah. So acupuncture can help with both the pain management and breaking the addiction cycle.
Wow. Interrupting the pathways. I wrote that down. I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, now, how do your clients feel after their session physically but mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you must hear all kinds of, you know, not just with the plantar, I don't even know how to say that.
Plantar fasciitis.
Fasciitis. So not just with those clients or, but, you know, do people are telling you?
Yeah. So a lot of the times, you know, they're feeling better from what was physically wrong with them. But in Chinese medicine and acupuncture, there's no distinguishing between physical and mental or emotional symptoms. So we're treating all that at the same time. The body is looked at holistically. So if you come in with both anxiety and lower back pain, we're treating both of them at the same time because they're part of a larger pattern that we're addressing in the body. So both of them should be feeling better.
So I
want people to leave that are feeling physically better, emotionally calmer, and then mentally clearer so that they can kind of go about their day and be in a better state of reality.
Awesome. Well, we have to go to break, but I want, when we come back, I wrote this quote down in some notes that you gave me, and I think it's amazing, and I want you to share it with everyone.
Sure.
So I hope you stay with us. My guest is Megan McGonigal, and you can go to healingmeadowswellness.com for more information. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD. Hi, I'm Nicole Perry, and I created a great motivational tool for the entrepreneurial, spirited businesswoman called Powerful Women Reflections. Women entrepreneurs deserve to be at the top of our own priority lists, and these cards work similar to tarot cards by providing daily insight and motivation. Powerful Women Reflection cards are perfect to keep your health, business, and future in check. Each powerful deck come with 80 cards of reflection, and you can get your own personal deck today by visiting PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
Every day is not Valentine's, but you make it feel like most of the time. When I'm all alone with you, picking up pieces of my life, sometimes there's ones I just can't find, but they found a home with you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. And when I think about the things that we've been through, just one thing is true. Life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you.
And we are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Life is better with you. What a great song. I don't even know how to. Michael Fronte. Oh, my God. So adorable.
Heartwarming.
And it really reminded me of the song by Rachel Platten. I'm blanking on the name of that song. Better Place. Oh, this one reminded me of that. But anyway, so here I am teeing you up. So this quote about sciatica. So what did you write in some of your notes to me about when you see several patients in one day with that same issue?
Sure. So oftentimes there are themes to a day. A day you'll see just everyone has the same thing.
It's just
going
weird
on.
How
it's
it
just
happens.
Weird how that happens. Or it'll be a week and everyone's coming in with the same stuff. It's shoulder week or it's sciatica week. And one thing to really keep in mind is that even
or that you keep in
that
mind.
I think really important is that just because I've been seeing it's shoulder week or it's sciatica week and I've been seeing multiple instances of that, that doesn't mean that that person feels that way. Each person comes in and they have their own story. They're in pain, they're being vulnerable, and they're asking you for help. And it's important to treat the whole person and have empathy and really not just treat their pathology. And that's what's integral to making sure that I have long-term success and I'm able to help them feel better and move out of that state that they're in.
But I love how you said you treat that fifth person like they are the first person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know that that was, I was just like very impressed. Oh, very,
thank
very,
you for
that was a huge,
that
was a huge wow for me. Anyway, so I want to talk about realistic treatment schedules. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you put somebody on that's on a budget? How do mm-hmm. you get them on a realistic schedule?
Sure. So one thing to keep in mind is that acupuncture is not a magical pill. Mm. It is a process. And if you just come in for one treatment, you're probably not going to have much change. Mm. Think about it when you go to physical therapy. You go to physical therapy yeah. for about 8 to 10 treatments, and it's only after the third or fourth treatment that you start to really feel better.
Or just like Reiki, you mm-hmm. could experience a change in one visit. Yes. But if you have something more intricate, you right. really need to spread those out so that you can have mm-hmm. an even outcome, right?
Yeah. Like, so if someone's coming in with acute pain, something that happened recently, one to two treatments should resolve that. But if you've had back pain for 40 years,
like chronic.
And it's chronic, yeah. that's definitely going to take some time to work on. Mm. And, you know, we might not even be able to eradicate it, but we can definitely get you feeling better and getting down to a level where you have much better quality of life and yes. you're able to do all the things that you want to do.
And then you may not have to have the surgery. Exactly. Now, so do you try to create some strategies where some people are using or taking advantage of a variety of modalities?
One of my favorite combinations is using craniosacral and acupuncture. So when people come in, an analogy I like to use is that people are like onions, to quote Shrek.
Yes. You want to peel back the layers.
You want to peel back the layers.
Love it.
For some reason, craniosacral, I just feel like, really bridges that gap to get to those core issues sooner. So when you combine them together, the amount of healing in one session, I think, is so much more and so much deeper. And the acupuncture and the cranial are mutually beneficial to each other. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Wow.
So that's really my favorite combination. Although,
and like alternating it.
I do it in the same treatment. People will come in, I'll put in the needles, do some craniosacral, and they are definitely acu-stoned after that one.
Wow. Now, I don't want to forget about the fact that you do offer herbal medicine.
I do herbal medicine as well, especially with things like fertility or asthma or allergies. Giving someone an herbal medicine to take home and have during the week in between treatments really helps the treatment come along faster and really helps with the success.
Yeah, and you also offer cupping.
I do cupping as well.
Now, they do that usually at chiropractor offices.
They do, yes.
But not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So you're proficient in cupping.
Yes.
And you can help somebody with that mm-hmm. if they want all those bruises. But
it looks like you got attacked by an octopus, but it feels good.
it does make you feel better. Mm-hmm. it's strange. Is that a Chinese thing too?
It's a Chinese modality. You can use it on different parts of the body, but primarily I use it on back tension. So office workers who are kind of hunched over all day, every day, it really helps release those muscles and get you feeling better.
And I want to say, I feel like the swimmers.
Like Michael Phelps. At the Olympics, they all had it.
Yes, mm-hmm. they all had those spots all over all those cupping bruises.
It was very good for acupuncturists everywhere.
Because
everyone wanted cupping after that.
That's awesome. So how important is furthering your education? Because you have so much already.
Sure. So one thing I don't think we did mention is that to become an acupuncturist, you need to go to a 3-year master's program.
Yes.
And then you need to be licensed with the state. And to become licensed with the state, you need to pass 4 board exams if you want to do herbs, 3 if you don't do herbs, and then you have to renew that education every 2 years. And you also need to be registered with the NCCAOM, which is a governing body, if you want to for different things that you need to do. So it is important. There are 3,000 years worth of material out there, and there's more than you could possibly learn in a lifetime, but you can try. And every single time that you go to a continuing education event, you get a fresh perspective or a new use for an herbal formula that you didn't think about before, or a fresh look at point combinations, and it only makes you better at your craft and helps you do good work to help people.
But I think really the point also is you have to go through all this extensive training.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just hand you.
Oh, no.
a certificate and a shingle, if you will,
right.
You have to really jump through a lot
of hoops. We start needling the first month of school, and they don't even let us practice on a patient until year three. So there's a lot of training, a lot of hands-on work. All of your mistakes are being made on each other before you're even able to touch a patient, and they let you out into the wild.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about this fun fact we talked about over break. So what is this fun fact about yourself?
I'm also a TA at the acupuncture school, and I'm TAing point location.
And what is a TA?
A teaching assistant.
Ah.
So it's a practical class. We have the teacher that gives a lecture, and then we break up into small groups, and I have a little group, and I get to teach them how to find points, and it's very exciting. It's
nice.
Like full circle.
So you just never want to leave that school.
No, I love it there. Yeah, NESA, New England School of Acupuncture. It's in Worcester. It's part of the Mass College of Pharmacology now, but it's a great school. It's the oldest in the United States. I'm very proud. Graduate.
You're pretty much a spokesperson for them at this point, right? So I want to tee up this last question for you.
Sure.
What final thoughts would you like to inspire the listener with about being interested?
I want people to be interested in the options that they have.
Yeah.
I would love for people to try acupuncture, but I just want people to know that there are other options out there and that you need to be your own advocate in the medical system. You need to do your own homework. You need to know what is right for yourself, and don't be afraid to ask questions, ask for a second opinion, especially before something irreversible like a surgery, because you can regret it after the fact, and I want to prevent that as much as I can.
So getting curious,
getting interested, take charge of your own health, because it impacts your everyday. A lot of the times people live with something and they don't realize that they can feel better.
Yeah.
If you felt better, what more could you do with your life?
Yeah.
How much more could you pack into your day? Who else could you see? What more could you do?
Well, we are out of time. Wasn't this amazing?
It was. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You are amazing. I am so proud to have you sitting here today. I want to leave you with a final quote, but before I do, you can go to healingmeadowswellness.com for more information. And this is by Charles Darwin. It is not the strongest or the most intelligent who will survive, but those who can best manage change. Isn't that nice?
That's nice. I love that.
So I want to thank you so much for listening. I hope you will tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. Until then, I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week, and remember, knowledge is power.